Hey folks, welcome back to Dav Akta. This is Chris once again. Hello folks, and welcome back to Chris Y in Africa here on the Adaba Broadcasting Network. Today is the 9th of May, 2021. Let's get straight to the headlines, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not going anywhere. No, not me. The suspended Secretary General of the African National Congress, Ace Magashule, who's been suspended for his links to corruption in a case over asbestos tender in the Free State when he was premier there. $255 million case. He's accused of money laundering, racketeering, corruption. Whole mess, a whole slew of accusations. He was famously suspended on the 3rd of May by the National Working Committee of the African National Congress after he'd failed to adhere to the party's policy, the old policy, but finally being enforced, in which that members accused of corruption or charged in a corruption case must step aside from the position within 30 days of the charge. Of course, Magashule has been under indictment for a long time, and he was given an ultimatum, which he ignored for 30 days. Once that 30 days was up, he stayed in office. He famously suspended the president of the party, that's South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, after he was suspended. But I'm not going anywhere, says Ace Magashule. This shall be interesting as we watch the unfolding drama of Peyton Place, one life to live as the world turns on South Africa's African National Congress channel. There you go. Speaking of the African National Congress, it can't pay its employees. It's emerged it doesn't have money to pay its staff. Well, that's not going to go well for the African National Congress. And further than South Africa, AB InBev's subsidiary, South African Breweries, or SAB, says they might reconsider their plan on pulling $5 billion in foreign direct investment into South Africa's economy if the ANC would just stop banning alcohol sales. In news related to the Zulu Kingdom inside South Africa, a ceremonial post, one without any political authority, but nonetheless rather important to South Africa's 12 million Zulus, Prince Mzuzu Zulu, named as the successor to King Goodwill Swelatini and his wife, who just passed away just a month after him, was named the heir to the throne, was named the new king of the Zulu on Friday. And all hell broke loose. All hell broke loose as many of his 27 siblings did not take kindly to the fact that he was selected. He was the oldest child of the sitting regent who just passed away. At 46 years of age, Prince Mzuzulu Kwakwaswetini, which means son of Swelatini, is now the king of the Zulu. And according to News 24, they report that all of his siblings have pledged loyalty to him, but that remains unclear whether in fact that's the case. Look for more drama in the Zulu royal house as the days go forward, ladies and gentlemen. Turkey's Car Powership, the company that takes converted cargo ships and turns them into electrical generating stations and parks them just off coast for countries that are incapable of providing their own electricity, places like Lebanon and South Africa. They have been cited in a corruption charge against Gwede Mantashe of South Africa's ANC. Now, Car Powership says it will pull two ships off the coast of Beirut, off the coast of Lebanon, if the Lebanese government doesn't back off. The Lebanese government is accusing Car Powership of corrupt deals in Lebanon. And this is the company whom the African National Congress chose to do business with in South Africa. Flying on South Africa's subsidiary Mango, the low-cost airline, is quite an unpleasant experience, according to customers. We'll hear some of the quotes from what passengers said when flights resumed after Mango couldn't pay its airports company South Africa fees. And Abner van Rieden is taking a lot of abuse. Abner van Rieden, the young Stormers player, is taking a lot of abuse for the poor performance of the Stormers against the Bulls yesterday. Well, sadly, for those who are not objective, the Stormers are the ones that let themselves down. It wasn't just Abner. Yes, he made it a terrible decision, kicking the ball at the wrong time, as the Stormers had a great chance to score a try. But the team has many more problems than simply his performance in this nervous outing for Abner van Rieden. Kenya Airways is teaming up with SA Airlink so that passengers can share their network within Africa, which is good news. Not quite a code share, but an opportunity for people to travel from one place to another around Africa, because SA Airlink is stuck mostly in Southern Africa, well, entirely in Southern Africa. And the 12th Ebola outbreak is declared over in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. There are 11 confirmed deaths for a situation that began being reported on the 7th of February. It's declared over now by the government. 12 police have been killed in Nigeria, in the oil-producing region. And more reports of kidnappings and threats to murder family members in Nigeria and broadcast it on YouTube. Yeah, YouTube, the platform that cancels people for free speech. Let's see if they prevent this from happening. China's Long March 5 Bravo has fallen to earth as predicted this weekend. It landed in the vicinity of the Maldives. NASA is criticizing the Chinese for their reprehensible, irresponsible behavior. And three innocent bystanders shot in what was once a safe place for people to go to and visit. It was a lovely location where you could walk unmolested and undisturbed by crime, do your shopping, and experience the heart of Manhattan. But now the Wild West, under the mayoralship of Bill de Blasio, is simply a no-go zone for anyone with any common sense. Yesterday, three innocent bystanders, including a four-year-old child, were shot in Times Square. Apparently, they had nothing to do with the altercation that was taking place. They just happened to be in Times Square at the time. Snake Plissken, where are you at? And those are the headlines, folks. Let's get to the actual news stories now. I'll give you a little in-depth analysis on the stories we're reporting on today from across Africa and around the world. So first out of the window, I'm not going anywhere. So says suspended ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule. I'm not going anywhere. Said he was being treated unfairly. The ANC suspended this week in line with tougher rules for members charged with corruption and other serious crimes who were told to step aside or vacate their positions within 30 days or face suspension. One of the ANC's top six officials runs day-to-day affairs of the corrupt party that's based in the Thule House. He's a key rival of Ramaphosa, as I've mentioned. He's charged with corruption over contract to audit homes of asbestos roofs when he was premier of the Free State. He denies the wrongdoing. He said the ANC is acting in an unfair manner. I have not committed any crime. You know, it really doesn't matter if you committed any crime, Ace. You've been indicted, and that's your party's policy. And the party's more important than you. Don't you know that, Ace? Apparently, Ace is not the place with the helpful hardware, man. The cash-strapped African National Congress can't pay its bills or its salaries. Now, this story is from a little over a week ago, but it's not gotten much coverage, hence the reason I decided to bring it up. Otherwise, I'd pass on the story. Cash-strapped ANC fails to pay employees again. Wow. This story from Mandisa Nyati. So ANC staffers are bearing the brunt of the governing party's persistent financial woes after it again failed to pay their salaries last month. A letter dated to staff on the 30th of April, 5 days after payday, warned that the financial uncertainties would continue for 3 to 6 months. We appeal to financial institutions and creditors to take note that the late payments are by no means the fault of our individual staff and therefore not penalize them for this unfortunate situation. Last year, the ANC Treasury General Paul Mashatile told the City Press the party had gotten its financial affairs in orders. That's a thing of the past. The party has managed to sort its affairs and managed to pay their staffers. We don't have that problem anymore. And they had similar problems in December 2019. So if you work for the Thule House, you can't even get paid. How is this possible in a country with so many corrupt politicians in parliament, in the provincial legislatures, in mayoral offices, on the councils, so many corrupt, thieving ANC members, yet the party can't manage to pay its bills? It even has an outside investment house that invests its money to make money for the party, and it can draw on a base. Well, this is because fewer and fewer people trust the ANC with anything. And money pouring into the ANC has dried up. But you would think with all the corruption, they could, you know, shove a little bit of that money that they steal back to the party so they could keep the gravy train running. AB InBev, the world's largest brewer, which is now the owner of SAB, South African Breweries, has said that we might reconsider the decision to stop $5 billion in foreign direct investment improvements and upgrades in their operations in South Africa, if only the ANC will stop banning alcohol. Good luck with that one. Government give an ultimatum on further alcohol bans. South African Brewery says it will consider its decision to cancel investments in the country if the government provides commitments around its future lockdown regulations and alcohol sales. Speaking to Sunday Times, Richard Rivette Karnak, AB InBev's Vice President of Finance, Legal and Corporate Affairs for the rest of Africa, said that this includes a firm and binding commitment from the government not to reintroduce the ban on the sale of alcohol. The group also wants more certainty about the long-term alcohol regulatory framework in South Africa. Last year, the impact was devastating. We didn't trade for months and months. So you can imagine a business of our size and our fixed cost base with zero revenue coming in. The impact was very material on our business last year. And this year, we disclosed that volumes declined again after we were locked down in January. The impact each time has been very severe. Also said that SAB will continue its legal action in the Western Cape High Court against the government in a bid to get a ruling on the unconstitutionality of such bans. And I wish them good luck. The actions of the ruling African National Congress and its capricious, undemocratic, unelected, unaccountable National Coronavirus Command Council are very much indeed unconstitutional. But it really doesn't matter. Much of what the ruling African National Congress did in the early stages of the lockdown was declared unconstitutional by the North Gauteng High Court. Yet they continue to do it with impunity. Nobody being put in bracelets, corrupt officials, but they're not alone. We have here in Pennsylvania, we have the governor, Tom Wolf, who has violated the Pennsylvania Commonwealth's Constitution and the United States Constitution, as determined by the federal district judge in the Western District of Pennsylvania, Ted Stickland. Last fall, nearly 9 months ago, yet he continues to violate the Constitution with no consequences. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of the state of Michigan, was deemed to have violated virtually on everything she determined by her own Michigan Supreme Court, yet she continues to serve in office and not in handcuffs or behind bars. The cheek and impunity of elected officials to simply violate laws. And now we have a Biden administration that has passed a piece of legislation that is racial discrimination. It discriminates against farmers who are not people of color, denying them relief and opportunity to get access to relief funds based on their skin color. The irony is unbelievable. But this racist regime knows no bounds. Hopefully this case will be adjudicated in a proper fashion and then justice will be done. Picking who gets what based on their immutable factors is a disgraceful, shameful, vile, sickening thing. And it puts people like Joe Biden in good company with George Wallace and other segregationists. Disgraceful. Disgraceful. And in South Africa's royal family for the Zulu, 12 million Zulu in South Africa, there's an uproar. After the new king is announced, there's a lot of discontent, although News 24 claims that the siblings have pledged loyalty. We shall see. The Zulu family of the new Zulu king was named in South Africa amid scenes of chaos after members of the royal family questioned Prince Misuzulu's claim to be the title following his father's death, and bodyguards suddenly whisked him away from the public announcement at a palace. The controversy of the next king, a largely ceremonial role, but one with great significance for South Africa and his 12 million Zulu, has arisen after the death in March of King Goodwill Swatini, who had reigned since 1968. Well, given that this gentleman's 46, if he reigns a long time, I doubt he'll reign nearly as long as his father did. Swatini apparently named one of his six wives, Queen Manfombi Shiwawe Dlamini Zulu, as the regent. But she died just a month later. And so her oldest son, the 46-year-old prince, has been named. But it has thrown it into a tizzy. Nonetheless, News 24 reports that the siblings have pledged loyalty to the new king. We shall see. The late King Goodwill Swatini siblings have pledged their loyalty to the new king, Misuzulu Kwazwatini. We shall see. Praises rang out outside the royal palace on Saturday evening as the new king left following a meeting with senior royals. Yeah, but according to other reports, the traditional prime minister of the Zulu nation, Mangosuthu Buthelezi, the head of the Inkatha Freedom Party, had to tell people to shut up and sit down as chaos broke out when he was named as the king. We shall see. Turkey's car powership is now arguing with Lebanon. This is the company that South African government has hired to deliver electricity to South Africa because Eskom is corrupt, inept, inefficient, and incapable of doing its job. So Car Powership has threatened to withdraw its energy supply to Lebanon. Turkish company threatened to switch off two floating power plants that provide about a fifth of Lebanon's electricity amid a dispute with authorities over corruption allegations and payments. Lebanon's financial prosecutor asked for Car Powership's vessel to be seized pending investigation into the renewal of the power supply contracts. We are alarmed at the actions taken by Lebanon's financial prosecutor and firmly deny any violation of our contract or the law, a Car Powership spokesman said in a statement late on Saturday. The company is owed around $100 million by Lebanon in July last year, and that figure has risen since then. The government is struggling to pay suppliers due to the country's economic meltdown. Well, Car Powership is the company that the South African government has turned to solve its woes, rather than simply stop letting the Eskom Peristatal be a piggy bank and a patronage machine for the ruling ANC, turn into a proper company. Meanwhile, if you want to fly in South Africa, you might reconsider flying on SAA's subsidiary, Mango, which lacks 819 million rand, which the government has set aside. No date if that money will be made available to the airline, which is struggling. And it's struggling with its service to customers. What it's like to fly Mango after it resumed services, and it's not good. Mango Airlines resumed services after resolving a payment dispute with Airports Company South Africa, but you may want to think twice before booking a flight. Last week, Mango suspended flights because it could not process passengers' information on the system at check-in counters. But let's hear what customers had to say. While Mango started operating, My Broadband has received feedback from irate customers about the poor service levels from the airline on recent flights. This from a customer on flight JE9162 from Cape Town to Joburg on the 1st of May. He said, Mango's communication was all over the place. We didn't know what time the flight was, when we get to the airport, and what time we had to book in. They arrived at Cape Town National Airport at 1840, but had to wait until 1910 for Mango staff to arrive. There was no apology for them for arriving late, and they didn't communicate any delay with us. We only had drinks and chips at the lounge, and because of their poor communication, the airport lounge was not aware of the delay and closed at 9:10. The kitchen closed at 8 o'clock. They had to wait another 40 minutes for baggage collection. The airline didn't even give out letters about the problems, about the breaking curfew, until we'd asked for them. What a bad experience. It's a nightmare. Screenshots below show the communication from Mango with the passenger. Any apologies for delay on flight. Check-in counters will close at this time. Yeah, okay. Mango apologized for delay. Mango apologized for delay. Mango apologized for delay. Dear Mango guest, Mango would like to sincerely apologize for 1 hour, 40 minute delay on your flight. In another incident, the couple's Mango flight from Durban to Johannesburg has moved more than 6 hours, resulting in them missing a wedding ceremony. The original flight was scheduled for 8:20, and with them landing at 9:25. However, at around 9 p.m. on the Friday before the flight, they were notified that their flight had changed and would now depart at 2:55 instead of 8:20 in the morning. At that point, earlier flights were charged between $4,000 and $6,000 per person one way. The original tickets only cost $1,900 for both passengers. While they considered driving to Johannesburg, Mango only offered a voucher for the value of the flight, and they could not get a refund. In addition, they would have to void their flight back or change the flight at significant cost. They arrived at the wedding 2 hours late. Dear valued customer. Yeah, not so valued if you ask me. And unfortunately, the Stormers lost to the Bulls yesterday in the Rainbow Cup, Curry Cup, whatever you're calling this competition. It's a pathetic, just four-team competition in South Africa. The Stormers lost 20-16 to go 0-2 on the log to start this this tournament out. And unfortunately, a lot of that blame is being heaped on young Stormers fly half Abner van Rieden. Now, Abner van Rieden made a very critical mistake, apparently, in the game, kicking the ball, and it wound up going out, and no one really had a chance to recover it when the Stormers on the verge of scoring a try. But he's not the only problem with the Stormers. They shouldn't pick on this guy. Stormers have all sorts of problems, not the least of which is they let some of their quality players disappear. Sia Khaleesi now plays for the Sharks. Dwayne Vermeulen now plays for the Bulls. Should it be any surprise that with talent like that leaving the Stormers that they're struggling? Not at all. But Admiral van Rieden is taking a lot of abuse, which is unfair. They lost the match 20-16. Dobson defended van Rieden, saying that he was very nervous ahead of the fixture. Whether he's nervous or not, the Stormers find themselves in a very difficult situation. Young 22-year-old fly half was introduced to the bulk of South African rugby lovers with an impressive display against the Lions in this year's preparation series. But on Saturday, he took the step up and didn't quite make it. Of course, he's up against Springbok veteran Morne Steyn, one of my favorite players, who just is just kicking it and killing it. Bat went out, he's back in South Africa from France. Kenya Airways is teaming up Airlink South Africa, SA Airlink, to share flights. Not code sharing, but sharing flights. Kenya Airways teamed up with South Africa's Airlink in the form of an interline agreement. This agreement will allow for a combination of Kenya Airways Airlink itineraries, allowing passengers from one airline to connect to additional destinations on the other carrier's network. They'll be able to access a number of new destinations in the Southern African region for Kenya via hub links at Joburg and Cape Town. Same time, Airlink customers across Southern Africa will now be able to access Kenya Airways destinations across Africa. So here's a couple examples. Airlink destinations now available to Kenya Airways travelers: Windhoek, Durban, Gaborone, Maseru, Pemba, Maputo, Port Elizabeth, and more. Kenya Airways destination now available to customers in South Africa: Accra, Addis Ababa, Entebbe, Kigali, Lagos, Lusaka, Dar es Salaam, Bujumbura, Kinshasa, and more. This is a boon for South African travelers who are trying to find a way around the continent now with all the chaos that's going on. The 12th outbreak of Ebola in the DRC is declared over by the government. There were 11 confirmed fatality or 11 confirmed cases, 6 deaths. 11 cases, 6 deaths confirmed. They have yet to determine the original source of the infection of this filo virus. Gunmen kill a dozen police in Nigeria's oil-producing region. 12 police officers in weekend attacks targeting security agents in 2 of Nigeria's oil-producing states in the Niger River Delta in an escalating conflict fueled by secessionist tensions. 7 of the officers were killed in the River State in the southern part of the country, police confirmed on Sunday. Authorities have blamed previous incidents on the vigilante arm of the indigenous people of Biafra, which is seeking to break away from the country, and also in Nigeria. They threatened to kill my sister and posted on YouTube, says brother of abducted Nigerian student as ransom deadline passes. Kidnappers, at least 20 students abducted in Nigeria, have threatened to kill the remaining hostages if their ransom demands are not met, the brother of one of the captives told CNN. The government said that five students from Greenfield University in Kaduna State have been killed since the group was kidnapped on April 20th. The first time they killed three students, then the second time they killed two, says Otuja, who spoke on condition that his full name not be published, citing his sister's safety concerns. Otuja said he'd been in touch with the kidnappers a couple of times. I kept wondering if my younger sister would be the next to be killed. He said, adding that they had threatened to kill her and post film of her death on YouTube. His sister's an 18-year-old first-year student at international relations at private Greenfield University, and he said his interactions with her captors have left him in agony. I've never felt this much pain in my life. It's unimaginable. At first, they were demanding $800 million naira from the families of the kidnapped students. Then they started killing the students to show they were serious. He last heard his sister's voice on May 2nd during a routine call with her captors. The kidnappers say they know the families of the abducted students can't raise such a huge amount, so they asked that we meet the governor. If the governor insists on not paying the ransom, then he should ensure that the students are rescued. Kidnapping for ransom in parts of Nigeria is rife, including Kaduna. Crazy stuff, folks. Absolutely unbelievable what's happening in Nigeria. President Buhari is under increasing pressure to deal with this, and he's not having much success. Well, the Chinese Long March 5 Bravo rocket, which took part of the Chinese space station in orbit, has indeed fallen back to Earth, as was predicted. It orbit decaying and an uncontrolled descent back to Earth, landing in the vicinity of the Maldives in the Indian Ocean. NASA is criticizing the Chinese for their reprehensible conduct and their foolish behavior, putting people at risk. China says debris of the Long March 5 Bravo landed in the Indian Ocean, and most of it burned up in the atmosphere. Oh, that's so reassuring. Thank you, Chinese Communist Party, for sharing that. Remnants of China's largest rocket launched last month plunged back through the atmosphere on Sunday, landing west of the Maldives in the Indian Ocean, ending days of speculation of where the debris would fall. After monitoring and analysis at 1024, or 0224 Greenwich Mean Time, on the 9th of May, the last stage wreckage of the Long March 5 Bravo Yao 2 launch vehicle has re-entered the atmosphere, the China Manned Space Engineering Office said in a statement. In addition, most of the components burned up in re-entry. U.S. Space Command confirmed the re-entry of the rocket over the Arabian Peninsula, but said it was unknown if the debris impacted land or water. The exact location of the impact and span of the debris, both of which are unknown at this time, will not be released by U.S. Space Command. We believe the rocket went down the Indian Ocean, but we're waiting for official data from at 18SPCS, it added in a separate tweet referring to a squadron of the U.S. Space Force. And in New York City, in the Wild West of Times Square, three people, including a four-year-old girl, were shot after a dispute that took place, and apparently none of these people were involved in it. Police Commissioner Dermot Shea said the family from Brooklyn had brought a child to Times Square to buy toys. Shea told reporters gathered in Times Square that she and two other victims, a 23-year-old female from Rhode Island, a 43-year-old woman from New Jersey, did not appear related to one another or the shooting itself. It appears they were all innocent bystanders. Police said one person of interest that they were seeking information but had no indication yet as the context of the dispute. Said it broke out between two to four people just before 5 p.m. You can't even go to Times Square in New York to buy toys with your child. New York has become that unsafe. A city that denigrates its police, it undermines the rule of law and order, and allows criminals and gangsters to run uncontested. It all started with the idiotic decision to allow the toleration of smoking drugs in public, marijuana, and it's just denigrated from there. Not safe to walk in New York, not safe to live in New York. Well, folks, those are the headlines from Africa and around the world today, the 9th of May, 2021. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you being here. And we'll catch you next time on Indaba Africa News of the Day. Thank you very much. If you're not a subscriber, why not become one? And you can also catch this newscast later on All Things Africa podcast, where you can get the audio alone, or you can watch this uploaded once again onto Odyssey, Rumble, and on YouTube. Thank you very much, and have a lovely day.